T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Funding for law enforcement has been an enormous topic over the last couple of years nationwide. It's taken center stage in Texas as well. So I got a couple of opposing viewpoints. Wanted to present them to you. I talked with police reform activist Nora Soto and also Jennifer Szymanski, who is with the Combined Law Enforcement Associations of Texas. We'll start with Nora, co-founder of Our City, Our Future in Dallas. And I asked her how they got started.
Well, the main reason that we came together as a coalition or a collective, really, as OCOF, Our City, Our Future, is that there was a curfew that wanted to be implemented. The city wanted to implement. We all came together with our different organizations to fight against that curfew for the youth of Dallas, seeing as how it would be just kind of like punitive for no reason at all. And once it passed, we decided that something needed to happen in order for these children to have options so that they wouldn't get caught up into this curfew. And obviously, anytime that we want to offer other options to youth, we need resources from the city. And that's kind of how it all started. So that kind of led us to all the different ways that the city was failing its residents in every single department, whether it be Parks and Rec, libraries, childcare. And we realized that most of the budget goes towards public safety and in turn to the police.
And looking deeper into that, what have you guys found about, you know, the states of spending on police, specifically in Dallas?
Well, we released a report in 2020, the People's Budget, in which we had this really in-depth analysis that we got help from a couple of organizations. But it pretty much broke down every department. It even broke down the public safety part of it, the police part of it, down to like whether it's overtime that they're paying for. So it's really, really detailed. We clearly see that there's a lot of areas in which the police budget could be cut in order to fund these resources. And I know that Dallas probably doesn't want to do the work to go through the budget and reallocate things. So we went as far as doing it for them. And we presented this budget to city council, but they pretty much just ignored it, the majority of city council. So yeah, we definitely believe that there's areas that where money could be reallocated to resources for the community very easily. But there's a lot of fear mongering in the city with the mayor, Eric Johnson, the council members themselves in their own districts. It's a lot of just like fear mongering, and they want to be able to use these cops to punish poverty, people in poverty, for no other reason other than that they're poor or the houseless community. So that's how we see it. It could be very easy to reallocate that money, but the will is not there. Even though there were people rioting in the streets all of 2020, some of 2021, asking for defunding the police, it just was not like the city council and city leadership, you know, does not care about that.
But when you say taking funds away from police, reallocating them, you do run into some resistance there on a few different sides. You're talking about the council and things like that. If any positive feedback from the city or the police department or anything, is there any way in which they've reached out to meet you in the middle, if you will, or validate some of the concerns that you have?
No, absolutely not. That's hilarious. Of course they haven't. What they have done is take our language and use it to their benefit, they've taken some of our ideas and used it as their own ideas so that they can look good in the eyes of the community. They have started using phrases about the budget that we introduced, acting as if they care about what the people want, as if they want the people's feedback. And I forget exactly what they were naming the budget, but it was something similar to like the people's budget. And they also started implementing some very watered down ideas that we had for resources, such as like the free Wi-Fi during COVID. They took that idea from one of our demands and implemented it very badly. You know, it's not really working all over the city. I don't even know if it's still actually something that they're doing. I know that they tried to do it last year, I believe, but it wasn't implemented very well. There wasn't any sort of outreach in the community about it. It was just kind of a watered down version of one of the many demands that we had. So to answer your question, no, we have not had anyone meeting us in the middle, straight up rejecting to take any money from the police budget at all. And in fact, they increased the police budget. So it was just kind of a slap in the face to all the organizations doing the work and the residents of Dallas.
So where do you guys go from here?
There were already barriers before, and the barriers being that city council has no interest in defunding the police. And now a bigger barrier that has happened last year is that the governor implemented House Bill 1900. It threatens any city that defunds the police budget. It will take state funding away from the city. Basically, if the city didn't want to defund police before, now they can just point to this bill, HB 1900, and say, oh, well, now we definitely can't. Not that they wanted to in the first place, but now they can defer to this as a reason why they absolutely cannot defund the police. So that has stopped a lot of our work in its tracks, and we're in the process of shifting a little bit. We're not going to give up fighting for resources for the city. We are instead going to keep demanding the city provide resources for its residents and instead going after the general fund. The work is not going to stop. The work is just going to have to change in order to keep trying to help the residents of Dallas.
What's your response to when, you know, the city says, hey, we're seeing a rise in violent crime. We got to crack down on that. Now would not be the time to, you know, take funding away from police. Maybe reallocate it, maybe focus it, but not take that away. What's your reaction?
My response to that is that's what I was talking about. That's the fear mongering that we're talking about that we see always. This is the same argument that they have used always. It has never worked. Giving more money to the police has never once worked in slowing down crime. I've never seen an instance in which cops have helped reduce crime, have helped prevent crime. Cops are reactive to crime. And if we instead allocated those resources to preventing the causes of crime, which are poverty, which are people not having their basic needs met, I think that's what would really stop crime.
That's Nora Soto, the co-founder of Our City, Our Future in Dallas. Meanwhile, from the Combined Law Enforcement Associations of Texas, I also discussed with Jennifer Szymanski the current state of funding when it comes to law enforcement in Texas.
We're big proponents of using those dollars to enhance professional standards and increase staffing, you know, across the state. We're having a massive staffing shortage, and so that has to be looked into. We need to spend money on recruiting efforts. We need to make sure that our police departments are fully staffed. Our specialized units stay intact and that they're not defunded as they have been in the city of Austin. We're also big proponents of utilizing state dollars to enhance training for officers, which we have not done a very good job of in the past. We have a lot of work to be done in the realm of training, a lot of dollars that need to be pushed in that direction. You know, training is what keeps our professional standards high. It keeps officers prepared. It keeps them safe. It keeps citizens safe as well. As officers are able to attend the state-of-the-art training that is available. However, some of those officers have not been able to attend the training for various reasons, and we really need to work on the disparity in training across the state and ensure that all officers have the opportunity to attend some of the really good training that's out there and available to them.
When you talk about disparity in training, are there certain sizes of police departments that aren't up to par in that way, or is it just kind of a smattering? What's keeping some law enforcement organizations from being quite equal when it comes to the training you're speaking about?
Size is a factor. Again, it all goes back to funding. And so if there are counties, which there are, and cities, who do not have the funds or the resources to send their officers to the highest level of training that's available, the state needs to step in and do so. And we have the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. They are in charge of training and standards and education, and really they need to be focused on those efforts. Because yes, as you stated, the large cities who have invested in their officers and they are able to attend the highest state-of-the-art training that we have available in the state. And what we do have available are regional types of academies that are not for profit, but the state has yet to come in and declare them or accredit them for conducting police training for some of these smaller agencies that could really benefit from this. And so we're behind in that regard. And yes, there's, you know, dollars to be spent there. We just really need to ensure that we're all on a level playing field. And again, that's to the benefit of not only the officers and their safety out there, but also the citizens.
Yeah, speak to that a little bit more, how those go hand in hand, the safety of officers, which, of course, that's who you serve at CLEAT, but that goes hand in hand with the safety of citizens.
So training for law enforcement is just like training for anything else. The more repetitions you get in a certain type of scenario, the better the outcome is going to be when something like that happens in real life out there on the street. And so we push for, again, bringing TCOL back into the conversation. Much of the mandated training is classroom setting. Well, that's not going to help an officer when they get out to a call and have to respond to a dynamic situation that could be a life or death situation for themselves or for the citizen. It's extremely important that they are able to attend scenario-based training and attend it regularly. This isn't something that should just be focused on in the academies when they become police officers. This is something that should be regular training for them. Is that going to cost money? Yes, of course it's going to cost money. But you can't demand perfection when these officers aren't able to attend training as often as they would like to and as often as they should be attending it. The way that that ties again to the citizens is the more training an officer attends, the more confident they're going to be in any given situation. And confidence always results in a better outcome for the citizen. You know, officers who have to engage in use of force, they're engaging in that use of force because they feel that their life or their body, they're in fear for their life, or they're in fear that they're going to be harmed in some way. And there's a use of force continuum that they follow, and they're justified in doing so. But the more training, again, that they have, the more confident they're going to be in any given situation. And we're also for, you know, citizens to be educated on what the use of force continuum is, and what it looks like. And, you know, we've tried that, and I think the state has tried that. Citizens can ride out with police officers anytime they want. That's something that I personally highly recommend as a 15-year police officer myself. It's a good learning experience for citizens. But again, a well-trained officer is only going to benefit citizens. We don't have officers out there who are questioning themselves, who wish they could, you know, have attended more training and weren't able to.
You know, I have heard from some organizations who feel like, you know, money should be pulled directly from law enforcement, that there is too much money being put there and be put into more social programs, reducing poverty, things like that. And they see it as a direct correlation of a better use of that money. But what's your thought on that, especially knowing what you know about where we are as far as a lack of funding, as you put it, for law enforcement in general already in Texas?
You know, that money needs to be derived from some other source. Our law enforcement, we cannot afford to take resources from our law enforcement and direct them some other direction. we're not opposed to acknowledging social issues and putting more money into those. However, for example, in the city of Austin, when they defunded the police department $150 million and diverted those funds to other areas, we have seen drastic spikes in violent crime and all types of crime here in Austin. And so that doesn't work. We need all the funds that we currently have, and really we need more. Most of the departments across the state are having staffing shortages. They need more funds. They need more officers. They need more tools for recruiting. And they need to preserve what they have. We need specialized units. You cannot cut off specialized units and divert that money elsewhere. You can add that and maybe help the situation, but these units are doing very important work. Sometimes it's difficult to measure the work that they're doing, but they're doing very important work, and they are deterring crime. They're getting a handle on repeat offenders. They're working DWIs. That was cut in the city of Austin. I mean, it's unimaginable to cut a DWI unit. That's unimaginable. The work that they do saves lives every single day. So we're 100% opposed to cutting any funds and diverting them anywhere else. However, we do support the concept of, you know, acknowledging and investing in social programs that might help law enforcement do their job easier.
It's an ongoing conversation. We appreciate the perspectives. That's Jennifer Szymanski, Public Affairs Coordinator at the Combined Law Enforcement Associations of Texas. Also want to thank Nora Soto from Our City, Our Future in Dallas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.